Today's daf is daf Dalet. We'll dedicate our learning in memory of those who died yesterday in the tragic accident and to the refuah shlema of those who are in need of it. Okay. We're going to start with Yugimel Amud Bet, about 10 lines from the bottom, Amar Rav Meir. Okay, we'll go back to the end of what we did yesterday. We're in the middle of the topic of etzba, tfilat etzba, when you dip your finger in order to put the blood for the chatat pnimit. Okay, let's just go back a little bit. There's a chatat pnimit and a chatat chitzonit. Right, the chatat chitzonit happens in the mizbeach hachitzon, that's outside the hechal, and the pnimi is done inside the pnimi, is the par halim deber shel tzibur, and the par in the seir and Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol brings. We're going to learn today that in both cases, you dip the Kohen dips his finger, both in the chatat hachitzonit and also in the chatat pnimit. However, the pasuk, when it says vitaval, is only by the chatat pnimit. And that's why they're talking about tefillat etzba b'chatat pnimit. Okay, because there the pasuk says you have to dip. It doesn't say you have to dip your finger in the chatat chitzoni. Okay, the only way to get it on your finger is to dip it. So it says there, b'lakacha kohen, and the only way you can do it is by dipping. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't say in the pasuk that you have to do it. Okay, you can take maps, we'll use those later. Okay, so where were we? We were trying to figure out, is this an act that you can be mifagel, right? That you can, by thinking the wrong machshava, you're going to have an issue of pigul. So Rav Meir said we can prove it from the Mishnah that says, Zaklal kola kometz v'notein b'kliv amalif b'maktir. Right? All these things you can mess up with your machshava. Right, we were comparing the acts of the mincha to the acts of the korban. So basically, the issue was, what are we left with? Notein b'kli my nihu. If we're going to say notein b'kli is like Kabbalah, it's not really similar, right? Because we said, what's the difference? Right, in the Kabbalah, it drips by itself, and in the notein b'kli, he puts it there intentionally. And therefore, you can't compare them. So they say, Alekeven de lo sagi de lo yahiv. What must be the reason why, notein b'kli, if it's not like Kabbalah and it's not like any of the avodot, why is it an issue? Al korche avoda chashuvah. It must be because it's a necessary avodah. It has to be done. Hachanami kevan de lo sagi de lo avidle al korche hainu halach. Okay, in our case, we'll say the same thing. By tvilah, since there's no other way to do it, we're going to basically say it's like holacha. Okay, this is a bit of an extra thing because you could have just said it's an avoda chashuva. Why do they have to say it's like holacha? But we'll leave that question aside. Anyway, what are they basically saying? That according to this, we're going to say that tefillat etzba is like holacha. Okay? It's just like the note, we're going to do like this. Notein b'kli is an avoda, right, is considered an avoda because it's an avoda chashuva. So we'll say likewise that the tefillat etzba is an avodah chashuvah. And what avodah chashuvah? Well, it must be like holacha. Why is that? Because what is holacha? It's bringing it closer to the mizbeach.
If that was the one we argued.
So we're going to get to that. Hold off. Okay? So now they're going to say, no, don't say that. La'olam didami l'kabbalah. It really is like Kabbalah, this notein b'kli. Okay, so they say in the end, no, you could say it's Kabbalah. Okay, so we basically have this machloket. Is tefillah etzba like holacha, or is it like Kabbalah? So now we're going to say, lema ketanai. Let's suggest that this machloket about tefillah is a machloket tanai. Detan echada tefillah etzba mefagelet b'chatat. V'tanya idach lo mefagelet v'lo mitpagelet. Okay, so why don't we say... So why don't we say that this is a machloka tanaim? Why? Because we say, is it mifagelet, right? One says it's mifagelet, one says it's not mifagelet. My love tanaihi, is this not a machloka tanaim? The truth is, I don't know if you would necessarily say, sorry, I don't know why I said it's like Kabbalah, forget that. I got confused for a minute. Rav Meir was talking about the notein b'kli. Is that avodah chashuvah or is that Kabbalah? Okay? But the question is tefillat etzba holacha? If we go with notein b'kli as an avodah chashuvah, then we're going to say tefillat etzba is also avodah chashuvah and we're going to call that holacha. Or are we going to say that it's not holacha? So either it's holacha, in which case you would need, you know, lishma could mess up, right? If you have the wrong kavanah while you're doing the tefillah, then you can mess up the korban. And if you say it's not holacha, then it won't mess up the korban. So here we see two tanaitic sources. One says tefillah that's been mifagelet bechatat, and one says lo mifagelet. So what are we going to say here, right? Is it not a machloket tanaim? One says it's holacha and it's mefagelet, and one says it's not holacha and it's not mefagelet. So they say it low. You can very simply say, as Ruth suggested, harabanan harab shimon. You could say everybody says it's holacha, but holacha itself is a machloket tanaim, and that's why one source says mefagelet and one source says it's not. Okay, so it doesn't necessarily mean, the whole question is tefillat etzba holacha or is it not holacha? But the fact that whether we say it's mefagelet or not mefagelet depends on the machloka Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan. So then they say, no, that doesn't make any sense to say the one's Rabbi Shimon, one's Rabbanan. Why? E Rabbi Shimon might iria tefillat etzba. Ha amar, kol she'eino mizbeach hachitzon kishlamim, ein bo mishum pigul. What did we want to say? We wanted to say that Rabbi Shimon would hold, and the source that says that Eina mitpagelet would be Rabbi Shimon. And why? Because it would be Rabbi Shimon, and as it would be the Eina mitpagelet, because it's considered holacha, right? And holacha is Eina mitpagelet according to Rabbi Shimon, right? That would be Rabbi Shimon Shita. But the problem is that Rabbi Shimon himself says, what are we talking about? We're talking about tefillat etzba in the Mizbeach HaPnimi, right? In the Chataot HaPnimiyot. But Rabbi Shimon himself says, since we learned the whole din of Pigel from Shlamim, we saw that before, then it's only going to be relevant for Korbanot that are like Shlamim, in which case what? That they're brought on Mizbeach HaChitzon, and not that they're brought on Mizbeach HaPnimi. He doesn't think there's din Pigel at all on anything Pnimi, in which case you can't say this whole reason is because it's Holacha, and that's why it's Patur, because he holds Bichlal, he wouldn't even have a question, is it mitpagelet or not? It would even be an issue for him, because he already says, kol she'eino mizbeach hachitzon kishlamim, ein bo mishum pigul. And therefore, the source that would say, tefillat etzba mitpagelet or not, is an irrelevant question for him. Because he doesn't think, tefillat etzba is on the chatat pnimi, and he doesn't think there's ever pigul on the chatat pnimi. So therefore, we're left with saying, elahava harabanan, and still, the lo kashya, still we don't have to say one says it's holacha, as we're still going to stick with everyone agrees it's like holacha, tefillat etzba. Kam b'chata'ot achitzoniyot, v'cham b'chata'ot apnimiyot. We can say very simply like this. When it says, because the pasuk appears by litbol, right, tfaval ha-kohenet etzba'o, by the chatat ha-pnimit, we're going to say like this. There's going to be pigul, because there it's a critical act. But in the Mizbeach HaChitzoni, where there isn't, right, where you don't need tefillah, so there's no, right, that we're going to say, you can't be mefagel in that avodah. Even if you do it, well, the pasuk doesn't say you have to do it, it's obviously not an important avodah. If it's not an important avodah, then we're not going to have a din of pigul. Okay, so now they say, pshito, what do you mean? Lo k'tiv behu v'taval. And has, that's so obvious. It doesn't even say taval. So of course there wouldn't be pigul. So why would you even need to tell us this? It wouldn't make any sense to say tefillat etzba eina mitpagelet b'chatat achitzoni when you don't even need to do tefillah at all. So what is the Gemara answer? No, itzrich. Salka da tachamina ho'il uktiv vilakach. Okay, this is one of these funny lines in the Gemara. We've seen this about where a monkey appears. Okay, you might have thought what? Since it says in the Torah, I kind of already prefaced this by saying you still do need to dip it, right? It's just it doesn't say so in the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says, Vilakacha Kohen, right? He takes it and then he puts the dam. Viate kov ramil huayade baile mishkal zimna achrita. Okay? If a kof were to come and a monkey comes into the Beit HaMikdash, puts his finger into the dam, sticks the dam onto, you know, the Kohen, okay, or his paw, I guess you would say, puts it onto the Kohen's finger, what would happen? Would the Kohen be able to use that to put the dam? No, because it says v'lakach, he has to take it himself. So he would have to do it zimnachrite, right? He would buy the mishkal zimnachrite. He'd have to put his finger in again, which shows that what? Even though the pasuk doesn't say v'taval, it's obviously a necessary avodah. And therefore, you might have thought kiman dichtiv v'taval dami. It might be just like where it says v'taval by the chatat and therefore, kamashmalan Kamashmalan. Okay, therefore it teaches you lahachi lokti v'taval demashmahachi umashmahachi. Wait, sorry, is that the... One second. Right, that's why it doesn't say v'taval umashmahachi umashmahachi v'tzal v'desamche v'tzba'o v'natana. One second. Right, you might have thought. This is all what you might have thought. You might have thought. I'm sorry, one second. No, I'm not figuring it. One second. According to this. Right, that's why it doesn't say v'taval, to teach you that you don't need actual tefillah. Okay, mashmahachi, mashmahachi means. Right. Right, it just shows that it's not an important avodah. Okay, and there's mashmahachi, mashmahachi. You could do it any way you could do it, and you don't need specifically tefillah, and therefore tefillah is not an avodah, and therefore it needs to teach you that. And I see now. Okay, mashmahachi or mashmahachi means the fact that it says v'lakach and it doesn't say v'taval. You might have thought it's important avodah. You might have thought it's not an important avodah. Okay, and therefore the pasuk needs to teach you that it has to be. That it doesn't, that it isn't an important avodah, even though it's a necessary avodah, it's not important, and therefore it tells you specifically one braita says ena mitpagelet, and that's relating to the chatat chitzona, and the other braita says it is mitpagelet, and that's the chatat hapnimit.
Is tefillah like literally a 1 second thing?
Yeah,
it's not enough time to even contemplate people.
I guess anything. I mean, first of all, you could take your time, and you can. You know, or you can say, and as you remember, some of the, right, whether you need to actually say it or you need to think it, but you could say, as I'm putting my finger in the dam in order to, you have to think, so it could be the Kohanim also express things to make sure they didn't get confused about things. So it could also be, okay. So in the end, we tried to say, maybe it's a machloket tana'im about whether the tefillat etzba is considered holacha or not. In the end, we said, no. Everyone says it's holacha. The two different braitot have to do with the chatat chitzoni or the chatat apnimi. Amar Rabbi Shimon machshir behiluch. Now we're going to get into shita Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we're going to have a whole bunch of different things about the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, Rabbi Shimon says, so what does he say now? That behiluch, right, if you have a machshava shalo lishma while there's hiluch, we're not going to consider that a problem. So Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Modeh Rabbi Shimon b'holachat chata'ot ha'pnimiyot, shemachshava poselet b'hu, ho'il v'avodah she'ein yachol levatla. His whole theory, Rabbi Shimon, was that since you can do without holacha, right, you could shech the animal right next to the mizbeach. Okay, for this you can use the maps, pass around the maps, everybody has one. In theory, right, take the mizbeach, look at the mizbeach hachitzon. Okay, you can, in theory, shecht in the area right outside the mizbeach hachitzon, and therefore, you're going to pass one to me. If you shecht it right outside the mizbeach hachitzon, okay, right here's, you can see the Beit HaMikvachayim. Okay, that's where all these little round things are. That's where they would shecht the animals. I'm just going to give you some background here. Okay, for people who aren't looking, I'm sorry if you don't have a map or anything, but you can look on the internet and find. You can look anywhere and find a map of the Beit HaMikdash. We're basically talking about, okay, that if you remember, there's certain things that shchitatam b'tzafon, okay, so the Beit HaMikvachayim is in the tzafon, even though, right, tzafon is usually north, this is upside down in a sense in terms of the directions. This part that is the bottom of the map is tzafon. You can see at the bottom that says tzafon. So the Beit HaMikvachayim is in the tzafon. So you have the mizbeach, and basically the part from the mizbeach to the tzafon, right, that's the whole area. From the edge of the Mizbeach to there, that's all the Tzafon half of the Beit HaMikdash. And that's where, you know, some of the Shechita has to be in the Tzafon, not all of them, but, you know, a lot of the Shechitas happen in the Tzafon, which is in that Beit Mizbechayim. Okay? Now, what does he say? Since you could, in theory, shecht right next to the Mizbeach, have the Dam, and just go right to the Mizbeach, so you don't need Holacha. It's not a necessary element. Okay, obviously sometimes it'll be necessary, but oftentimes it won't be necessary. And therefore, if you have a machshava, it's not going to mess things up. Machshava shalo lishma. So Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says like this. In a case of the holachat chataot pnimiyot, what does he say? What's the pnimi? So look inside now. You shech the animal in the Beit Mikbachayim, and then what do you have to do? You have to walk from there. There's this space between the area where, right, between the Mizbeach to the Heichal. Okay, now, the Heichal, okay, I'll try to explain for those who don't have a map. You have the Mizbeach. Then there's some dead space. It's called Bein Ulam LaMizbeach. Okay, very clear what they call this space. Okay, it's the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. What's the Ulam? The Ulam is this area that's outside the Heichal. Okay, this very long, narrow area that basically is a little courtyard before you get into the Heichal. And then you have the Heichal, which is a long, narrow area going in the other direction. Okay, so it's perpendicular to each other, the Ulam and the Heichal. And the Ulam is this long area. The Heichal is then inside. Now, what's the issue? You have to get inside the Heichal to where the Mizbeach HaZahav is. So, in that case, you can't possibly shech the animal in the Heichal. Nobody shechs in the Heichal. So, therefore, in that case, you'd need holacha. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish comes and says, in that case, Rabbi Shimon will agree that you can mess up the korban, right, with by the wrong machshava in that kind of holacha. Modeh Rabbi Shimon b'halachat chataot pnimiyot shemachshava poselet behu ho'il v'avodah she'ein yachol v'atzla. Okay, this is navodah, you can't do with that. Now they're going to question this. What do you mean? V'hamar Rabbi Shimon, didn't we just say that Rabbi Shimon said kol she'inom mizbeach hachitzon kishlamim ein chayavim ala mishum pigul? Okay, and if you're, and then the assumption is, okay, now even though the other day we made distinctions between when we say pigul and when we say shelo lishma, we're going to assume here, since there's no pigul, there's no din of chashivav shelo lishma, which means it wouldn't be relevant anyway. So, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, modeh haya lifsol mikav chomer. In other words, what does he say? Even though, what does it mean you're not chayav mishum pigul? In the, when Rabbi Shimon says you're not chayav mishum pigul in the chataot hapnimiyot, what he meant was, remember, pigul has a din of karet. If it's, which case is karet? Remember this? Chutz, there's two cases of pigul, right? There's chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo. Okay, let's try to repeat what these are, right? Let's repeat to remember. Chutz lizmano means you have a machshava and you're going to eat this after the time that you're allowed to eat it. Chutz limkomo is you have a machshava, you're going to eat it outside the place that you're allowed. So chutz lizmano is karet, chutz limkomo is not karet. So what are they going to say here? If there's no din of pigul by the chataot pnimiyot, according to Rabbi Shimon, and all this is coming to explain Rabbi Shimon shita, so how could you even say that there's going to be an issue of holacha, a problem of holacha by the chataot pnimiyot if there's no issue of pigul? So he's, no, there's not no issue of pigul. There's no karet of pigul. But he's modeh lifsol mikal v'chomer, okay? He says that it is pasul, though. It's disqualified. Why? Uma shelo lishman, here we have a kavachom. Ma shelo lishman hukshiru b'shlamim pasul b'chatat chutz lizmano. I'm sorry. Ma shelo lishman hukshiru b'shlamim b'pasul b'chatat. If we learn this whole thing from shlamim, but what do we say about lo lishma? Doesn't disqualify shlamim, it only disqualifies a chatat, right? It's pasul in a chatat. So chutz lizmano sheposel b'shlamim, if chutz lizmano is a psul by shlamim, right, and shlamim we're going to say is more kal than chatat because shlamim doesn't get disqualified by lo lishma, so ein odin shiv so b'chatat. So if a chatat gets psul in cases where shlamim isn't with machshava, which is a lo lishma, then obviously chutz lizmano is also going to posel a chatat apnimit, even though there's no karet, it is going to obviously disqualify it. If a chatat gets disqualified by lo lishma, it's obviously going to also get disqualified by pigul. So now we're going to say like this. Chutz lizmano sheposel b'shlamim ein odin sheyifsol b'chatat. Right? So it should also be posel in the chataot. So now they say, okay, well, ve'eshkechan chutz lizmano. So now we see that. So basically we asked a question, how can Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish say that you're not chayav, how can Rish Lakish say that the chataot pnimiyot machshava poselet behu, because avodah she'en yachol levatzla, doesn't he say, this doesn't apply to Mizbeach HaChitzon? So they say, no. It does apply, the psul applies of pigul, just not karet. Okay? So now, Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, modeh haya lifsol mikav v'chomer. I'm sorry, did I just skip? I just went back. Okay. Let's go back. Ve'eshkechan chutz lizmano. Okay, so now we have chutz lizmano. We see the chutz lizmano is going to be relevant. Chutz limkomo minalan. But where do we learn? What about the psul of chutz limkomo? Imi chutz lizmano. If you want to say, well, if chutz lizmano is relevant, is posel. What are we trying to say? It's posel by chatada pnimit, according to Rabbi Shimon. Imi chutz lizmano is obviously, according to Tanakami, who doesn't even think that there's an issue, right? Obviously, chatada pnimit. It's only Rabbi Shimon that we're asking this question. You can't learn mechutzlim zmano to chutzlim kamo, because you could say chutzlim zmano is disqualified even though there's no karet, but that's because a chutzlim zmano is more chamor, it's got karet. But a chutzlim kamo doesn't have karet associated with it, so maybe we wouldn't be machmir. And imi shalo lishma, if you want to learn it from the case of shalo lishma that we now said is noheg in the chatara pnimi, shekein noheg bibama. So, avishalo lishman. Okay, so Shkeno Heg Bibama. What is this? There was, in the time, right, when there was no Beit HaMikdash, you're allowed to bring stuff in a Bama. What's a Bama? It's you make your own Mizbech, wherever you want. Now, a Bama applies for which cases? It applies for, 1 second, let me get what the Gemara is up to at this point, right? If you want to learn it from Lo Lishma, we can say, if you have a bama, right, when there's heter bamot, right, what's the issue with chutzlim kamo? It's not relevant by bamot. Why not? What is chutzlim kamo? When there's a Beit HaMikdash and you have a location where you're supposed to bring the korban, then you can't bring it, you can't eat it outside that location. But if you're doing your own personal bama, well, there's no issue of location, okay? It's just not a relevant thing. So basically, we're going to say that lishma would be relevant if you bring your own bama. You still need, you have your own mizbech, you still need the right machshavot about what korban you're bringing, but you wouldn't need chutzlim kamo. So we're basically going to say chutzlim kamo has kula that the other two don't have, and therefore we can't learn it from either one of them.
Did the bama have to be in Yerushalayim?
No, it could have been anywhere.
And you were allowed to do that?
Yeah, so when there's no central location, like a Beit HaMikdash or a Mishkan, then you're allowed to use bamot. When there's a central location, it's asur. If you remember in Sefer Melachim, they talk all the time, and they continue with the bamot, okay? You can see why maybe they continue with the bamot, because they existed when there was nothing, but when there is something, you can't, okay? So now we're going to say, shelo lishman b'may noheg, 1 minute. The whole issue of shelo lishman, what are we trying to say? Cases when lo lishma disqualifies it, because that's the whole thing. Will it disqualify also chutzlim kamo? What cases are disqualified by by shelo lishman? Pesach bechatat. Now Pesach bechatat bebama lo kervu. You can't bring. Okay, there's going to be a difference between a bamat zibor and a bamat yachid. Okay, we're obviously only talking about a bamat yachid and not a bamat zibor. Okay, imagine. There's no Beit HaMikdash. So what do we have? We have bamot that are done by the Tziburi bamot, which they kind of institute in different places so people can bring sacrifices. Those, by the way, have mechitzot around them, and there is a din of chutzlim kamo. So therefore, the only thing they could possibly be talking about here is a bamat yachid. Now, what are you allowed to bring in a bamat yachid? I don't know if you knew these halachot, but now you know them, or you will know them in a second, which is that on a bamat yachid, the only things you could bring are things that yechidim bring, like nidavot, neders, and korbanot olah. In other words, only things that a yechid can bring voluntarily. You can't bring a chatat or a pesach. They're only for voluntary offerings. Chatat and pesach that you bring on for your own, you decide, I want to bring a sacrifice, so you can bring on a bamat yechid. But if you have a chatat that you have to bring, it's not voluntary, or you have a pesach that you obviously have to bring, can't bring it on a bamat zibur. Okay? So basically, what do we have now? If we're going to say that shelo lishma disqualifies this chatat we're talking about, okay, and the chumrah about it is it's noheg b'bama, well, it's not noheg b'bama, because it's only the chatat and the pesach that are psulim, and they're not noheg on the bama. Okay? So therefore, that's one answer. Okay? V'ibay teima, and some people say hekeshahu. Shlishi ze chutz lizmano. Okay, remember the pasuk. Im heachel yachel b'yom ha-shlish. Mibsar zevach shlamah b'yom ha-shlishi. This is the pasuk about pigul. Lo yiratzeh. Hamakriv oto lo yechashev lo pigul yihiyeh. Okay, so there's two things it says there, by yom ha-shlishi and pigul yihiyeh. What do they learn from here? Shlishi zechutz lizmano, pigul zechutz limkomo. Okay, so he says, you could say, where do we learn chutz limkomo from? So according to the first reading, we can learn it from the shelo lishma, because we tried to say we can learn it from lo lishma, but we have the bamat yachid issue, but then we say, oh no, it's not relevant by the bamat yachid, so we could actually learn it from lo lishma. The second response is to say, no, we could actually learn it from chutz lizmano. Why? Because the pasuk of pigul has this extra word. It says, on the one hand, b'yom ha-shlishi, and it also says pigul. One is chutz lizmano, one is chutz limkomo, even though we don't say chutz limkomo is karet, okay, but still we can darshan out from the pasuk that it's pasul, and therefore we learn that chutz limkomo is also going to be disqualified. Okay? So where were we? We started with Rabbi Shimon, who said, "Moder Rabbi Shimon b'halachat chatat u'pnimiyot shemachshava poselet b'hu ho'il b'hu avodah." We started with Rabbi Shimon, who's moder b'hiluch, right? The hiluch, there's no issue of shelo l'shma because it's not necessary. Rish Lakish comes and says, "Well, it's necessary in the case of the halachat chataot u'pnimiyot." Okay, then we asked a question on this, and now we're getting back to this concept of what Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, or like an added. So what does he say? He says, in the chataot pnimiyot, what do you have to do? You have to walk from where you shechted it, right, to the hechal. So now Rav is going to bring up a whole bunch of different opinions about things, about the kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash, etc. He says like this, im timtzelomar, Rabbi Shimon, Savar Lakibirei, if you want to say that Rabbi Shimon held like his son, De Amar, Bein Ha'ulam Ulimizbeach Tzafon, Eim Machshava Mo'ele Boholachata Chata'ora Pnimiyot, Ela Mipetach Ulam Belifnim. If you're going to say holds like his son, who says, Bein Ha'ulam Ulimizbeach Tzafon, okay, there's two areas. Remember we said Bein Ulam Ulimizbeach? There's the Mizbeach. There's the part that's north of the Mizbeach, which is, you know, sort of perpendicular to where the Heichal comes in, the entrance to the Heichal. So that whole area is Tzafon, the part north of the Mizbeach. There's actually a machloket. In this map, the Mizbeach is actually, right, there's a machloket. Is the Mizbeach situated exactly at the midpoint between Tzafon or Jerome or not, okay? But either way, the part north of the Mizbeach, toward the north side, which is going not in the direction of the Heichal, is Tzafon. But then, if you move toward the Heichal, you have this area of Bein Ulam LaMizbech. There's a question, is that considered Tzafon? Are you allowed to shech there or not? Okay, can you do the Shechita there? So Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, held that Bein HaUlam LaMizbech is Tzafon, which means that you can shech right between the Ulam LaMizbech, which means what? Which means that Holacha, if you shech there, you don't actually have to walk between the Ulam and LaMizbech. So what does he say? If you hold that, then you can say that when it comes to the chatat pnimiyot, if Rabbi Shimon's whole shita is, well, it's not, even if you are doing holacha, it's not a necessary act because you could have been standing right next to the mizbeach. What about the chatat pnimiyot where you couldn't have been standing close to the mizbeach? So where could you have been standing? You could have been standing right by the entrance to the ulam. You follow that? You could shech right outside the entrance to the ulam. Okay, you do have these stairs right here, so maybe they think you could do it on the stairs, at least in theory. So what does he say? So therefore, Eim Machshava Mo'ele B'Holachat HaChatar B'Nimiyot Ela Mipetach Ulam U'Lifnim. The only place where Holacha, where your Machshava, let's say you start walking from the Beit HaMikvachayim and you have the wrong Machshava of Holacha, but you did it all before you got to the entrance to the Ulam, no problem. Because that area is not necessary according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we're going to go on now with all different opinions. V'im Tim Tzelomar Savar Laki Rabbi Yehuda Damar toch azara mikdash. Okay, now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the whole area outside the mikdash, okay, meaning the whole area of the azara, this part outside, it's not the mikdash, outside the ulam, okay, which would mean this bein ulam la mizbeach, and the whole floor of where the mizbeach is, all of that is kodesh, okay? So, you don't know what the relevance is. Now, we're going to talk, before I read it inside, I'll just mention that the Shulchan is inside the Heichal, and on the Shulchan was the Lechem HaPanim. And you would take, with the Lechem HaPanim, these bezichim, these dishes full of frankincense, levona, and you would take them out and bring them, it would be the reverse direction. You would bring them to the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Okay? You would bring them outside. So if you say that the whole area is Kodesh, means that you can just burn this frankincense anywhere on the floor here. You could just take some ashes and burn it up. You know, make a little ktoret for yourself. Didn't have to necessarily be done in the Mizbech. So if he says the Toch Hazara Mikdash, Eim Machshava Mo'ela B'Holachat Tziluch B'Zichin, Ela Mipetach Hechav Lachutz. Then what would happen? The Shulchan is in the Hechav. So where do you actually have to do Holachav the B'Zichin? Right? In theory, you could have put the Shulchan right at the edge of the Hechal. So the only place where you'd have to do Holacha, where you could mess up things, would be from, we now learn that there's also Machshava by that, from the edge to the Hechal, or from the Petach. Notice how the Petach is wide. So it'd be from the Petach, because you can't put the Shulchan on the Petach, all the way, right, until, just until you get outside the Ulam. Once you're outside the Ulam, you can already offer them up, meaning if you walk from the Ulam, Bein Ulam Lamizbeach, and you have the wrong machshava, you won't mess it up.
But there's a different level of kedusha between inside the mizbeach and outside.
No, it doesn't matter. The kedusha doesn't make a difference here. The issue is you need to do an act of holacha, and in the act of holacha, according to Rabbi Shimon, you only need to have machshava, if it's the proper machshava, if it's a necessary act. So we're basically going to say all these walkings, right, these paths, not all of them are necessary. So if you have the wrong machshava and part of the path, it'll be an issue. And the question is, which part of the path is the issue and which part of the path is okay? So if he holds like, all these are intim silomer. If Rabbi Shimon were to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, we don't know what he holds in all these things, right? If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that the Toch Hazara is mikdash and you can offer the livona anywhere you want, then it's only going to be an issue. The only necessary halakha is from the entrance of the Hechal until the exit to the Ulam. Okay, where the entrance to the Ulam.
How could it be that you can offer it anywhere inside the Heichal? I mean, the Heichal is a very organized place.
You can't, offer
so
it.
So why is it not Holacha from the Shulchan until you get
there? Because you can, in theory, put the Shulchan at the edge of the Heichal, at the entrance.
Okay.
We don't, but in theory you could. There's no issue about where it is, okay? Just wait till you see more, okay? The intim selomar savar kedushat hechal ve'ulam chadehi. Some people say the hechal and the ulam are the exact same level of kedusha, even though the ulam is like an entranceway to the hechal, okay? Like this kind of area, no man's land, you could say. But some people say, no, it's not no man's land. It's exactly like the hechal, which means that in theory, you could put the shulchan in there. So in that case, when are you going to have? So now, if you hold that the whole mikdash floor is good and the whole right is okay for burning and the whole ulam is okay for the shulchan, then where's going to be your issue where you might say nothing? But where is it? The petach, the doorway. Okay. So em machshava mo'ela elami petach ulam v'lachutz ve'im timtzel lomar toch petach kelifnim. But if you want to say that the entrance area has the same level of kedusha, and in theory you could stick the shulchan. I didn't check the measurements and everything, and whether you actually could stick the shulchan there. Okay, right? There is no actual thing you could do. Ela bichdei hoshatat yad. It's just your hand. So when you moshit your yad to put it on there, that would be the one, because you can't do it in the airspace, right? You're holding it. It's still in the air. So when you put it down, right, your hoshatat yad, that's going to be your holacha. Ve'im timtzelomar savar holacha shelo berega loshma holacha. But some people say that just hoshatat yad doesn't count as holacha. Holacha means walking. You actually have to move a leg, okay? So if you hold, you have to move. Yafeh. It's not clear. If you hold, you have to move a leg, then ein machshava mo'elet klav. And basically, according to that opinion, if you say the petach of the ulam is like the ulam is like the hechal, then there's actually no option of having, according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Amar le'Abaye le'Emorei de'Rav Chisda. Abaye says to the Emorah of Rav Chisda, what's an Emorah? He was a translator. He both, translators in those days would, number one, they would speak the words of the rabbi to everybody else, like a microphone, and they also would translate the Hebrew into Aramaic for people to understand, right? We do the reverse. Anyway, he said to the Emorei of Rav Chisda, Be'emine, ask Rav Chisda, go ask Rav Chisda this question. Holacha bizar mahu. Already we're talking about holacha. It's not clear. Is holacha, right? Rabbi Shimon says holacha. Doesn't have an issue of pigul. What about a zar doing holacha? We know a zar can do shchita. The question is, can a zar do holacha? Okay, we know obviously zrika has to be done by the kohen. But what about holacha? Amar leik shera. It's actually kasher bazar, right? We've talked all along that only shchita can be done by a zar. He claims also holacha. Umikra Mesayani. And the pasuk, there's a pasuk that helps, supports me now. It's not actually a pasuk from the Torah. It's a pasuk from Divrei HaYamim. Okay? Where is this? In the time of Yoshiyahu, what did they do? You remember Yoshiyahu finds a Sefer Torah and they decide to sacrifice Korban Pesach. Because they realize, oh my God, we haven't done Pesach for so many years, and they do a Pesach. Vayishchitu et haPesach, vayizriku haKohanim et hadam miyadam. Now the assumption here is, who shechted the Pesach? The people shechted their own Pesachim. Okay? And then it says that the Kohanim zarku et hadam miyadam. Okay? What does that sound like? They sprinkled the blood from the hands of the person who did the shechita, who could be a czar. So it sounds like the person who did the holacha was a czar. Valavim mafshitim, that's just the end of the pasuk, right? The levim took off the skin of the animal, etc. Matif Rav Sheshet says, how could you possibly say that holacha is kasher bazar? Zar ve'onen v'shikor u'balmum. Okay, it says, a czar, okay, who's our person we're talking about, an onen, a kohen who's, you know, in a state of aninut before burying a dead relative. Shikor, if he's drunk, a balmum, can't do the avoda. Bekabbalah, beholacha, bezrika, pasul. Here you have it, explicitly. It says in the Makor Tanai, it's pasul. Bechein yoshev, bechein smol. And also someone who sits, and also someone, right, you can't do your avoda while you're sitting, and also you can't do a biyad smol. You can see why they distinguish between those, because those were people, and now we're talking about actions. So they say, tiyuvta, that's in fact a question for Rav Chisda. Okay, it's a good question. V'ha, Rav Chisda kraka amar, but doesn't he have a pasuk to support it? So how do they understand that pasuk? De'avid ma'ase itzdeba. Okay, it's not exactly clear what itzdeba means here, but either they all, in other words, either the czar, when the Kohanim took the blood, what happened? The czar just sat there. He didn't move. Okay? He stuck the blood in the czar's hand, and then he took it from the czar's hand. Okay? And it wasn't, the czar ended up with the blood, but the Kohen just took it from his hands. He just sat there. He was like a receptacle. He was like a kli, basically. Okay? The itzdeba, they say, is like a bench. Okay? Some people say itzdeba is that he passed it to one, and one passed it to the other. They had like an assembly line, and you know, a bunch of zarim, and the Kohen took it miyadam, even it's plural, right? From their hands. Could have been that, right? Obviously, miyadam is plural because there were many people shechting the Korban Pesach, and then each one. But in theory, you could say there were a bunch of people standing there, and they would pass it, and then no one actually did holacha because nobody actually walked it. Mm-hmm. That would have to do with holacha beregel, right? That there is no holacha beregel. Rabbi Yosef now mentioned, talk about the same issue. They both say, holacha bizar machloket Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. Say, whether holacha can be done by a czar is exactly our machloket, whether holacha is posel b'machshava or not. It's part of the same machloket. Rabbi Shimon d'amar avodah she'efshar lebatzla lav avodahi. Rabbi Shimon says, it's an avodah that you don't need. If you don't need the avodah, then we're going to assume it's k'shera bizar. And the Rabbanan, psula, and Rabbanan who hold, no, it's an ikar avodah, you can mess it up by having the wrong machshava. Then also it's pasul. Amar le Abaye, v'ha shchita, da avodah. Abaye says to them like this, your whole logic is, if it's an avodah, shef yifshar lebatla, then basically you're going to assume, then it's psula, bizarre, right? But that doesn't make any sense, because ha shchita, you obviously can't do without shechita. And what do we know about shechita? It's ksheira bizar. So you can't use that logic to say whatever's an ikar avodah is pasul bizar, because shechita is also an ikar avodah and it's kasher bizar. So what do they say? Amale, shechita lav avodahi. Shechita is not an avodah, which is interesting. We keep talking about the four avodot and shechita is an avodah. No, shechita is not that type of avodah. Yes, it's an avodah, and it's a necessary one, and maybe that's why we treat it as part of the four avodot, but it's not considered an avodah for the sake of, notice even we saw before, right? It's very clearly. All these people, the shikor, the balmum, and that, were bekabbalah, beholacha, bezrika. An avodah is not actually an avodah like the others. So they say, really, the low, it's not an avodah? Baha'am Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav, doesn't Rabbi Zera say in the name of Rav? Shchitat para bizar psula. The shchitat, the para duma, is pasul bizar. Okay, meaning it has to be done by a kohen. Now, what's their assumption? If the shchit of the paraduma has to be done by a kohen, must be an avodah. That's their assumption. We're going to reject this soon. But right now, they're going to say, proves it's an avodah. But I'm a Rav Allah. Rav says, why is this? Because it says there Elazar, and it says v'chuka k'tiv be. Okay? So what do they say? It's right because it says Elazar a Kohen would do, right? It said there in the Pasuk, so we learn it has to be done by a Kohen, and Chukah means this is a law, right, for generations also. So therefore, they say, so there you see, it's an Avodah. I say, no, Shani Para de Koche Beda Kabayitu. Para is different. Why is para different? We don't actually slaughter the para, right? We use it to make
upkeep.
No, it's not upkeep though. It's considered upkeep, but the whole point is it's not slaughtered. Why is it not slaughtered? Because we use it to be metaher people, right? So we call that upkeep, but it's not the classic beta kabayit. It just things are either beta kabayit or they're sacrifices. So for all intents and purposes, it's not a sacrifice. It doesn't get offered up on the mizbeach. That's the main thing. Okay? So they say because of that, right, you can't compare the, right, we're going to say that's why it's psula bazar. It's not the same. You can't compare it and say, oh, shechita is not a avoda, because shechita is an avoda when it comes to, we could say shechita is not a avoda when it comes to korbanot. It is an avoda when it comes to the paraduma. Say, wait, that logic doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Because v'lav kol dekenu, isn't it a kol shekein? Koche bet kabayit havi avodah, koche mizbeach lav avodahi. If for koche bet kabayit, which is even a sacrifice, we're going to call the shechita an ikar part of the avodah that can only be done by a kohen. How can we possibly say by a korban, which, shechita is the main thing, how can you possibly say it's not an avodah? So amar of shisha b'reid ravidi, midi dehave amarot negaim, de lav avodahi ubaya kahuna. So what are they going to say here? Para Adum is a unique halacha. You can't learn from there to anything. You can't learn from there the Shechita Zavoda because it says specifically in the pasuk it has to be done by a Kohen. It's a Gzeret HaKatuf. Just like by Marot Negaim. Marot Negaim are not sacrifices. They're not even Kodesh, right? The Kohen has to check. It's his job. He has certain jobs he's supposed to do. And it says so in the Pesukim. And that's why we know they're done by Kohen. But it doesn't prove is Shechita an Avoda or is it not an Avoda. This has nothing to do with anything. So we're left with the shechita is not an avoda because, right? It's right. We can't say we're back to saying that it's okay that we made this comparison between the fact that holacha is not a necessary activity and therefore it's kshera bizar. Okay, that would be our connection. So how could you say? Right, so shechita lava vodihi, we're still saying the shechita's lava vodihi. Vare holachat evarim lekevesh da avodash efshar levatlahi upsula bazar. But wait a minute. We see there's other things efshar levatla. In other words, if we're going to say holacha efshar levatla and therefore kshera bazar, look at this other avodah that's efshar levatla and yet it's psula bazar. What's that? Once they take apart the animal, right? They sheft it and then they cut up the pieces and then they take the evarim that get burned in the mizbeach, right? This could be in a korban ola or it could be also in the other korbanot. This halacha specifically said about a korban ola, but it could be because the whole thing, all the evarim are burnt, but even if some of the evarim get burned in the mizbeach in a regular korban, not all of them because the rest get eaten, right? Then it's also psula bazar. How do we know this? Dikhtiv, v'krivu ha-kohen et ha-kol v'ktira mizbecha. Okay, the pasuk about haktarat evarim says the kohen bring. Okay, he kriv. What does he kriv here? Amar mar zo halachat evarim lakevesh. Okay, this is bringing the evarim to the ramp of the mizbech. So what do we see here? That the kohen has to do it, even though right, it's an avodah shepshar lebatla. It's not a critical avodah, and yet it's psula bazar. So what are the answer? No, again, hecha degale gale, hecha delo gale lo gale. When the pasuk specified it, we go by it. When the pasuk didn't specify it, we don't. Here the pasuk specified it had to be done by a kohen, be a kriva kohen. Okay? So now they say, wait, the lav kol dechenu, but then can't you make a kol shekein? Umau lachat evarim lakevesh delo ma'akva kapara baye kuhuna, holachat dam de ma'akva kapara lo kol shekein? If holachat evarim lakevesh is not a critical avodah, and holacha is a critical avodah, right? It's one of the four main avodot, which affects kapara ultimately, even though maybe you don't have to do it, but if you do it, right, it's part of the main avodot. So wouldn't you say lo kol shekein? And then it says, itmar nami amar ul amar Rabbi Lazar, holacha bizar psula, afilu l'Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so after this whole thing of trying to say that maybe according to Rabbi Shimon, since holacha is not a necessary avodah, and machshava wouldn't mess it up, maybe also it's kshera bazar. At the end we say, no, it's not kshera bazar. Okay, the last thing for today, we're going to go back to this machloket about this issue of holacha shelo beregel. Ibayelu, they asked this question. Holacha shelo beregel, shma holacha, o lo shma holacha, do we count this as holacha, or do we not count it as holacha if you didn't move your leg? Tashma, it said the Brayta we quoted at the top of the Amud, b'chein yoshev, b'chein smol, pasul. What does it sound like? Only if you're yoshev is it pasul. But what would it infer? Ha'omed dumiyadi yoshev would be kasher. But if you stood and just moved your hand, sounds like it would be kasher. But they say, no. Dilma yoshev doesn't mean yoshev and you're not moving. It could mean you're yoshev and you move yourself to kashayef meshav. You move yourself on the floor by sitting. Okay, you're lazy or something. I don't know. You think of like little kids who shuffle, like babies who shuffle around like that. Okay, and therefore, omei jumia di yoshev denayid porte. It would be that you move very slowly. It's trying to say if you shuffle your feet. Okay, if you shuffle your feet, then it would be kasher, you know, but if you sit and shuffle your body, it's not kasher. So that doesn't prove anything. Next attempt to prove, Tashma, Shachat Yisrael, this is about the Korban Pesach, okay, this is an interesting debate here, whether Shachat Yisrael, meaning the Jews generally would shech their own Pesachim, the Yisraelim, the Zarim, or it's just if he wanted to shech his own Pesach. And there's a bit of a debate about whether what the Mitzvot is. Rashi there says in the Gemara Pesachim that if he wants to, but not that they necessarily were doing it. But the description sounds like generally Shachai Yisrael. But then Kibel HaKohen, the Kohen gets the blood. V'netano l'chaveiro v'chaveiro l'chaveiro. What does it sound like? Right? That they passed it without moving it. And there you see, holacha counts, even if you don't move. No, hatamnami denai deporte. You could say, no, each one moved a little bit. Umay kamashmalan, and then what's it coming to teach you? Berov am hadrab melech. The idea is that they wanted to have as many people as possible involved in the mitzvah, so they would pass it from one to the other in order to have people thinking of like when people take a baby into a brit milah, they like to pass people. Right. They want it again, but it's not people getting involved, it's the kohanim. Because we just said holacha is psula bazar. But again, you know, maybe they wanted to have as many kohanim as possible. Okay, last source. Tashma kibel hakasher v'natan lepasul, yachzir lakasher. Let's say the Kohen, a kosher person, accepts the blood, and then he gives it to someone who's pasul. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then, what does he have to do? He has to return it to the kasher, and then the kasher has to bring it. Now, you might have thought, right, it messed it up by touching the pasul. So what do you see here? That, okay, this is a little tricky, but the assumption is, once, let's say, okay, one person's standing here, right, the Kohen gives it to the pasul guy. So what would you think the pasul guy should do, right? According to this, he has to give it back to the Kohen from where the Kohen was. It could be he could give it to the Kohen when the Kohen's further on and already just give it to him. And then, right, there would be, what would you prove from here? That you could do holacha, right, according to this one. Second, it's a little tricky. Right, Rashi says there's actually two things to learn from here. One, delo mifsal b'may da'afsake. Right, the fact that he did it shalo beregel, right? And as it proves here that you have to do it beregel because you'd have to return it to the other Kohen and that Kohen could actually do a real holacha, which would be walking it, okay? So then they say, no, ema yachzora kasher v'yikablena. Yachzor doesn't necessarily mean he has to return it to where the guy was originally. Yachzor means he has to give it back to him. He can give it back to him at a further point, even if there's actually no holacha, okay? So we don't really have any proofs from any of these cases. Itmar, but it is said, Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, holacha shelo berega lo shma holacha. Okay, that in fact, you need, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Ula anyway, that it has to have a holacha aspect of it. If you don't move your legs, that's not considered holacha.